Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be mainly sunny, maybe a cloud or two here and there, and a high near 70 degrees. Temperature-wise, Kenosha, it is at 51 right now. 55 in Burlington, 55 Milwaukee, 52 degrees in Racine. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department investigating what was reported to be a hit-and-run accident before 10 o'clock last night involving a car and a bicyclist, which turned into a fatality. Bristol Fire Rescue dispatched at about 9:50 p.m. to 260th Avenue and 119th Street in Trevor. The only information released is that somebody died, no age, gender, or anything else. The initial reports from the scene indicating that the vehicle that fled that location may have a broken headlight and that a passerby attempted life-saving measures. The construction work that is taking place on Taylor Avenue in Mount Pleasant from just west of Meacham Road to Bankers Road, westbound from the city border, has included quite a bit more law enforcement presence because of rock throwers as well as motorists ignoring no-through traffic signs and or speeding in a work zone. Racine County Public Works and Development Services Director Julie Anderson telling the county's Traffic Safety Commission that the rock throwing at contractors is very disturbing.
They were getting hit with stones by teens that were in the area that were actually launching stones at them using slingshots at the contractors and at their equipment. And so we actually had a contractor, one of their employees was injured because he got hit with a rock. And there was damage to construction vehicles from these rocks. And I believe Mount Pleasant and or Racine police came out and arrested several teens.
Anderson adding that several hundred citations have already been issued to motorists speeding through the area. Aside from the Taylor Avenue project, she said that the county's other big project is the Highway A culvert and bridge replacement, which is another 4 weeks out. Next year, she said, the big project will be Highway Double M from Highways 31 to 38. A Racine Fire Department investigator says that a $6,000 fire at 1240 Superior Street, a vacant home before 6 o'clock Sunday morning, was intentionally set and extinguished within about 15 minutes of crews arriving. The home in question was targeted for city demolition, according to a news release. The fire was set at the back of the building by undisclosed means. Anyone with information asked to contact the Racine Fire Department at 262-635-7915. Fire department's going to have a drone at some point in the near future, but is waiting right now on the latest technology before seeking grant money. Fire Chief Steve Hansen told the Finance and Personnel Committee, the users of the drone, well, they can really enhance visibility without risk to personnel, and it can provide some valuable information. One of the reasons they want to wait on the new technology with the drone includes the ability to make the device what's called intrinsically safe.
Which means that it won't cause an issue should it happen to fly accidentally through a plume that might be flammable. So the brushes on the motors all need to be enclosed, the batteries need to be sealed, that type of technology. So we want to wait, and we want to make sure we get the best technology. But it would also be available to the police department. We've seen PD actually sat in on us with the drone demonstration, and it would be used by both departments.
Money for the drone would come in the form of a grant from Firehouse Subs, the same organization from which the Mount Pleasant Police Department got $21,000 toward new speed trailer equipment. Streetcars in Kenosha not going to be operating today or tomorrow because of downtown road construction. Work is taking place along the streetcar route on 56th Street and on 6th Avenue, all part of the street resurfacing project. John's Disposal today delivering new garbage carts to Village of Caledonia residents. That delivery expected to be completed over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks. The residents in Caledonia being urged to start using those carts as soon as they are delivered. If you have any questions, contact John's Disposal. That's the contracted company in the village. Meanwhile, the city of Racine's new semi-automated solid waste cart collection system starts up this morning. No doubt there's going to be a learning curve for a lot of folks, maybe even some of the Public Works Department employees. DPW Commissioner Mark Yellen explained at a recent council meeting they're starting everybody out with a 95-gallon cart so that each household can determine after 6 months, including through the winter, if it's the right fit.
If you put 20 pounds of trash in a 95-gallon cart, moving it around is not much different than putting 20 pounds of trash in a 65-gallon cart or a 45-gallon cart. So once again, it's how much you put into it. The other thing is, you know, particularly with the 95-gallon cart, as far as handling is concerned, typically that weight is much lower, so you got a lower center of gravity. Typically, it's easier to deal with.
He said DPW supervisors are going to follow collection trucks, observe the operations, and leave notes at addresses where materials are not in the carts, including bulky waste. Unchanged from the past, he says, the ability of somebody who's got a disability and a doctor's note to have DPW come get the container from a designated spot on a property, but it has to be set up in advance through their office.
Really, it's kind of surprising that only about 80 people take advantage of that program. I would expect that as we move forward with this, we expect that we will get more folks that would want to sign up for that, and I would encourage them to do that. I mean, we were required by city ordinance to do that. I will just also say that is not a requirement of the Americans with Disability Act.
Bottom line, Yellen says, if your trash fits in the cart with the lid down, you're good. Anything left outside the cart by itself in another container or a trash bag will not be picked up. Printed material that came with the cart has details on how to handle bulky waste from now on, as well as green waste for the rest of this year. A formal policy on the latter is still being worked out with another council committee of the whole's discussion that'll be coming up Wednesday night. Well, Governor Walker is set to sign the $3 billion incentives package for Foxconn, but the bigger question yet to be answered, where is this gigantic manufacturing plant officially going to be located? Of course, plenty of speculation fueled last week by news that Kenosha essentially said thanks but no thanks, given the impact on services that would be required at taxpayer expense. The signing ceremony is at the S.C. Johnson IMET Center in Sturtevant. A framework for advancing development on the site that used to be Dairyland Greyhound Park is up before the Kenosha City Council tonight. A developer wants to put up some industrial buildings and would eventually tear down the abandoned dog track. But before any of that occurs, ground contamination from an old unlicensed landfill has to be dealt with. In addition to Summers, the State Department of Transportation is also liable because the agency owns a small parcel. And the city's involved in this. The agreement on the council agenda calls for all the parties involved to share in the cost. The city, because they want to jumpstart development, will provide up to $2 million with tax increment. As for the developer, there's reportedly at least one business interested in that site. That business, of course, is unknown at this point. And the city of Racine going to actually try to clean up the north section of the former Racine Steel casting site on North Memorial Drive, because even EPA is concerned about it being so contaminated based on years of testing. During a recent Redevelopment Authority meeting, hired environmental attorney Bill Scott said what's considered technically a pilot test involving a chemical is a little bit different than what's normally approved. It seems to be, though, the best option.
And we're not using it the way EPA writes their normal cleanup rules, where you pick one remedy and you do it over the whole site. Because literally, this should have been a separate site. We're going to do a pilot test. It's okay with EPA. EPA is encouraging that. They like this project.
Pilot test going to be done on about a 3,000 square foot section of the north parcel. Scott indicating it may or may not take care of most of the worst underground contamination, but after about 90 days, it could be an indicator of what to do with the entire site. Well, in the wake of the Riverside Inn situation and a determination that a newer City of Racine nuisance ordinance was not legally applicable, the process has been underway to create a revised policy. One of the components would be the creation of a due process board to address appeals on chronic nuisance determinations. That request through the City Attorney's Office to the Public Safety and Licensing Committee is going to be referred at Wednesday night's council meeting. The nuisance ordinance approved by the 2012 Common Council contained a sunset provision, which meant that the Riverside Inn scenario fell under control of the ordinance from back in 2003. Riverside's owner, meanwhile, has met virtually all provisions of a negotiated settlement with the city for the property. A specific number of hired and licensed bartenders, though, that is still outstanding. All the room tax money from a new hotel next to a proposed event center on Racine's lakefront, one of the financial pieces needed, but it would be a little different than the standard procedure for use of that money around Racine County. City Administrator Jim Palahniuk recently telling the Redevelopment Authority it is a proper, legally viable request.
We went to the Real Racine Board in July and made that presentation. They took it up again in August. There was some concern on the part of some of the board members there that there might be legal questions about what we were asking. So as a result, both Dave Blank from Real Racine as well as the city have gotten two separate legal opinions. Both concur quite clearly that it is entirely legal what we're asking for.
And based on those opinions, he says the Real Racine Board would then have to make a decision. Hotel Melto room tax money used in the different municipalities for things like tourism and event promotion, as well as funding Real Racine operations. And it's been just about a week or so since the Shalom Center opened up the doors to that brand new homeless shelter on 39th Avenue. Already, officials say that changes have been observed in the temperament and the attitude of the people who are being served. With our partners at Gateway Public Radio, Shelter Program Director Lisa Sanders cited the example of one 30-year-old man who said now seems to have some purpose in his life. But otherwise, in general, little things she said really kind of make a difference in how people handle themselves.
They have a place to store their belongings. They have lockers with a place to hang some clothing, and then two drawers, a couple of shelves, and then a storage bin under their bed. And just to watch them unpack their things and carefully fold them and organize their little space, it really has been an amazing difference.
The New Shalom Center replacing the INS program in area churches that sheltered the homeless on a rotating basis. All but one of them lacked showers. Clients had to take their belongings with them from church to church. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.